Alexa, what's the weather?
Right now in New York, it's 44 degrees Fahrenheit with mostly cloudy skies. Also, you should know that after you left for work, your wife's friend Carlos came over the house. Carlos stayed for approximately 2 hours and 38 minutes. During the visit, your wife said, "Oh my God, Carlos," 82 times.
Alexa, play Sad Songs by Elton John.
Sad Songs by Elton John.
You're listening to Questionable Material with Jack Helmer and Brian Sack. This episode, New Religions, Terrible Yelpers, an interview with an engineer from Tesla. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Brian.
It's Thanksgiving this week.
Yay. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
We really get along.
We're getting along. We're not like those Mythbusters guys who don't get along.
Is that true?
Yeah, they don't get along.
Oh, neither do Hall & Oates.
Seriously?
Yep. I was the head writer on McEnroe's ill-fated TV show
right
back in 2004. And I say 2004 because it lasted 4 months.
Wow.
We had Hall & Oates on the show and they had to have separate dressing rooms.
Really?
Yep. They hated each other.
Do they really?
But they're stuck with each other.
You know, it's funny. I just bought tickets to Hall & Oates.
Is that true?
Yeah. They're coming to Madison Square Garden with Squeeze. And not my 15-year-old had said he wants to go to it. And I was like, okay.
What's Squeeze?
The band.
Oh, yeah.
Or
no,
the thing your wife doesn't do to you.
That's a lot of band names.
Yeah.
For that.
You know Squeeze, right?
I don't know Squeeze.
Tempted by the fruit of another.
All right, I know that song.
Tempted, but okay. Take it to the bridge, throw it overboard, see if it can swim, back up to the shore. No one's in the house. Everyone is out. All the lights are on and the blinds are down.
Nope. That sounds like a thing that kids sing in a
It sounds like Michael Stipe having a seizure.
No, I don't know. I don't know Squeeze. I'm sorry.
Squeeze and Hall & Oates. And so, yeah, my son wanted to go, so I got tickets there sometime next year. I think March or something.
So your son is 55 years old.
he's into Squeeze and Hall & Oates.
Okay.
He's been exposed to a lot of 80s music because that's what I normally listen to when I'm in the car. Mm-hmm. And he's taken to him. And both of the kids, I mean, I was like, one of my proudest moments as a dad was when I heard the 12-year-old playing the Smiths.
And you just dragged your kids to Billy Joel the other night.
I did.
Yep. How'd that go?
That was great. It was a great concert. He would sing a love song.
Yep.
And then at the end he goes, and then I got divorced.
Well, what's so funny is that they have a commercial for, you know, Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden. He's the artist in residence at Madison Square Garden. And so they have this 30-second commercial with him, you know, slowly rocking out on stage. And one of the shots is like looking out into the audience of Madison Square Garden, sort of like over Billy's shoulder during a concert.
Right.
So you can see everybody, you know, having a great time, but you can see on the ground, the teleprompter for his song.
Really?
Yeah. So it's sort of like, you may be right.
No kidding.
Yeah. It's all there just so the old man can remember his songs.
He really needs a teleprompter.
It was right there in the commercial.
Wow.
Yep.
And it wasn't just like the song list. It was an actual lyric.
No, it was absolutely not the song list.
It was lyrics.
Yep.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it happens.
Yep.
Everybody gets older.
Not Jeffrey Epstein.
That's right.
Well, do you have any Thanksgiving plans?
Nope. I mean, we're going to have some folks over and I'm going to cook a turkey on the Big Green Egg.
Wow.
Which is a phenomenal grill.
It is. I've eaten there.
You have had the pleasure.
I have.
And we're going to have a Thanksgiving. What I like is my wife has really embraced Thanksgiving, even though she's from Poland.
Mm-hmm. A foreigner.
She's a foreigner.
Yep.
So she's really taken, although she bought some decorations that I hate and that say thankful.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I came home, these decorations, like, what is this? She's like, oh, it's for Thanksgiving. Like, but it says thankful.
Man.
She's like, well, yeah, but that's what Thanksgiving's about. I'm like, no, that's weird. Yeah, we're just going to, she's a phenomenal cook. You've had the pleasure of.
I've had the pleasure of your wife.
Well, we should probably elaborate. Cooking?
Yeah, sure.
That feels like there was a plus there.
Yeah, there was.
So like main dishes and appetizers?
I've had main dishes.
Canapes?
It was great canapes.
Crudités?
On my birthday.
Do you know what crudité means?
No.
Huh.
Is that a Polish? Is that Polish for the butt? In my experience, that's what it means. So I don't know I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I just, right.
She just screams a lot of cooking words.
Wow. Savory. what are you doing for Thanksgiving, Jack?
So we'll have the mother-in-law over. We're going to buy a holiday pine needle bear and conifer.
We call that a Christmas tree.
Nope. Brian.
Jesus.
What are you saying? I don't want to upset anyone by saying that.
Christmas tree?
No, don't, Brian. Holiday pine needle bear and conifer. Let's just keep it. I don't want to upset people. This is the holiday season. So many holidays, and they're all equally good. What? Don't mess this up by saying something like that, okay?
Xmas tree?
No, that's so... God, I can feel people turning us off already.
Holiday pine needle bearing conifer.
Yes.
All right.
That seems real. Isn't that easier to say?
It sure is. It flows off the tongue like an anvil.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you very much.
So you, where do you get your holiday pine needle bearing conifer?
Home Depot.
Home Depot.
Yes.
Oh, how romantic. Wow.
No, we like to buy.
Really sticking it to the man.
Yeah, absolutely. We like, it's like a conifer holocaust. Which is because there are so many conifers in the lot. I mean, thousands. And we pick one.
Funny Christmas tree story.
Yeah.
So I was in Poland for Christmas. This was years ago. Mm-hmm. And
completing the transaction, like just signing the paperwork.
Signing the paperwork. And so my brother-in-law and I were tasked with getting a holiday pine needle bearing conifer. Mm-hmm. Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
And so, you know, Poland is filled with pine trees and pine, but they have mm-hmm. these big national forests everywhere.
Sure.
So in her village, there's a national forest and you're not allowed, of course, to go in there and just chop down trees.
Right.
So my brother-in-law like grabs an axe and like, you know, throws it in the car. I'm like, where are we going? He's like, let's go. And like, I'm like, okay. So we drive and we're driving down these rural Polish roads and we turn into just these dirt roads that go into the forest. And I'm like, okay, I know what we're doing. And you know, we're just driving down these dirt road and we kind of pull over and we get out and we're looking for a tree in this forest. We're just standing there looking. And then one of the forest ranger cars just pulls up behind us and the guy comes out and, you know, he's basically like, hey, what are you guys doing? And we're like, nothing. And then wow. He looks in the back seat of the car and there's an axe just sitting in the back seat of the car. He's like, what's the axe for? Oh, no reason. He's like, okay, well, you guys know you can't cut down trees. Like, oh yeah, we know. Like, get back in the car and drive away.
I was gonna kill my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. But he drove away and then you chopped down a tree?
Pretty much.
Is that true?
We went somewhere else and got one. Yeah.
That's funny.
Because that's how you said. But now, I mean, after that, I decided that I wanted to buy the Christmas trees mm-hmm. or the holiday pine needle bearing conifers.
Thank you.
And they're so cheap. I mean, you can get one, a beautiful one for $20.
Now, are you talking about your wife or are you talking about the
trees?
Okay. Sorry. I don't,
because
we've been talking about a few things right. And I just, it's in my head. No, I apologize.
Yeah. Much more expensive.
Okay.
But the trees, yeah, $20 got me a really nice tree. So you're going to get, you go to Home Depot, you get
my tree,
your tree,
decorate it.
Yeah.
With festive, not offensive sayings.
Right.
You know, like hooray.
Hooray.
Yeah. And, like sports logos and stuff, uh-huh. and just things that just aren't going to upset people. Even though it's in my house, I'm just worried that someone will drive by and it'll trigger them.
When you get the tree the day after Thanksgiving or when?
That's almost every year. That's exactly what we do. Yes.
You know, what's weird is in Poland, they put up the Christmas tree Christmas Eve.
Is that true?
Yeah. It freaked me out the first time. I'm like, why isn't the tree up? I'm like, because we do it, you know, right before on Christmas Eve, but then it stays up throughout January. And then they do this thing like they put the tree up, they decorate it. And then that night Santa comes, and leaves the presents. And then the tree just stays up for another month.
Wow.
Yeah. It was weird.
That is weird.
People do different things in different countries.
Well, that's why we got to keep them out.
That's right. Stop them from that.
So Brian.
Yes. Jack.
I had a question for you.
I'm sure you did.
So I was going through your stuff the other day.
Oh boy.
You and your wife, you're out. I don't know, whatever you were doing, probably finalizing her immigration papers.
Sure.
Whatever that is. Mm-hmm. Rifling through your stuff. And I saw this, the strangest thing, that you've started a bunch of religions.
Yes.
I was like, what? I can't even imagine why you would do this. But so I wrote down some of the names of these religions that you started. I was wondering if you could tell me about some of your religions. One of the religions here, first on the list, is a Reformed L. Ron Hubbardist.
Reformed L. Ron Hubbardist.
Yeah. Like what does that even mean?
Well, sure. Yeah. Well, as you know, L. Ron Hubbard founded Scientology.
Yep.
Reformed L. Ron Hubbardism is basically cutting out a lot of the science fiction stuff the Xenu, the Thetans, and just getting straight to the point, it was, we just need a tax dodge. We don't want to pay taxes.
Oh, that's so interesting.
We want to own real estate and not pay taxes on it. We want to have income and not pay taxes on it.
So you're basically just letting your followers not have to read shitty books.
Right.
And just send me money.
You
just
don't have to hold the tin cans with the string and, yeah, and I'm going to measure your, whatever, your e-meter. We don't need any of that stuff. I just want you to give me money that's tax-free.
That seems great for people who are looking for a religion, but want also a lot of free time.
Yes.
That's great, Brian. Good for you. That's really smart.
Thank you.
Here's an interesting religion I saw on your list, Confucianism.
Confucianism, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's based on the teachings of Confucius, who was a 7th century mystic.
Oh.
Confucius used to say stuff that didn't make a lot of sense to his followers.
I bet.
Like when one walks in the air, he is not walking, he is falling.
Oh, that's really weird.
Yeah.
Why would you even say that? It sounds like a bad fortune cookie.
Yeah. And so he said a lot of stuff like that and built a huge following of Confucians and started Confucianism.
Okay.
They have 10 rules. Mm-hmm. It's like the 10 rules of Confucianism.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Except they're, first of all, they're lettered. So it's A, B, C, and not numbered.
Wow, that's confusing.
Confusing. And it's a random assortment of letters. It's not even A, B, C. It's like A, K, G, I, Z. Like, it makes no sense.
Right.
But that's part of Confucianism.
Right. Well, it sounds like they're doing a good job, and yet it also sounds like it's not fun to be a part of.
It's really not. There are a lot of demands.
But what are some of the demands?
Ask yourself.
Ask yourself what?
That's what I said. That's what I've been saying for years. Oh. And they don't answer it.
Man.
They just look at you. They give you this weird look and they shake their finger.
It seems like it'd be really rewarding if you could ever crack that nut.
The other problem is they don't have an established church location.
Uh-huh.
So that you get a notice just saying, meet us at the place. And they don't. So you basically have to just drive around looking for other Confucianists.
Really?
Yeah.
So I bet that can lead to all sorts of shenanigans and trouble.
It led to a rear-end collision.
Really?
Well, because I'm looking out the window looking for Confucianists.
And do you ever see, I mean, you live in New York City, Confucianists, I mean, you must walk up to crazy strangers all the time.
Well, you approach and you just, I mean, the general greeting is to say, do you know what I'm talking about? So you just walk up.
That's like a greeting?
Yeah, you walk up, you go, do you know what I'm talking about? And they usually look at you. But if they're a true Confucianist, they go, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So many rules, but it seemed, again, it almost seems like a fun puzzle to play.
It's a different, it's a different system.
Wow. That's really neat. Well, good luck with that one.
Thanks.
Here's what this is confusing. I'm almost afraid to ask about this one. A sexy time Protestant.
Sexy time Protestants.
Yeah. What is that? What is your religion? Sexy time Protestant.
You've splintered off of the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. You're following Martin Luther's reformations, but you're hot and you wear skimpy clothing.
Oh, is this a type of religion I could join?
I mean, I'd love to say yes, because I would love more followers.
Right.
But I think, you might be better off just being a Protestant.
Nah, but I really want to sort of get into that sexy time Protestant thing sounds.
Yeah, there's a barrier to entry.
Oh, what is it?
Some religions, in Catholicism, you were born with original sin.
Uh-huh.
To be a sexy time Protestant, you have to be born hot. Mm-hmm. And
so can I join?
No, you look like you were born with original sin and then some.
Man, if I stopped and thought about it, that might hurt.
Yeah, no, don't think about it.
Okay, I won't. I definitely won't. What's Mass like?
It's great. Instead of amen,
yeah,
we say damn.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Damn. Like the priest will just be like, damn.
And y'all, and then everyone goes, damn.
Yeah. And then we do the communion.
Yep.
Which is, but it's with bananas.
Because to stay hot, you can't have the carbs.
No, it's more about like he's feeding you the bananas in a very, very suggestive fashion. The weird thing is like the church is mostly dudes.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Yes. So basically you're just saying it's like Ashley Madison, just a bunch of guys.
That's right.
Okay.
And the occasional person pretending to be a woman to lure you into subscribing.
Right. Who then winds up to be a guy.
Jack.
Yes, Brian.
Do you use Yelp?
Not very often, but I do it on occasion. I know that's the type of thing you probably use a lot.
I like Yelp. I think a lot of people use Yelp. I think in cities especially.
Yep.
Anyway, so if you're familiar with Yelp, it's just reviews. But every once in a while, you find these gems, these fantastic reviews that just reveal so much.
Okay.
And let me read this. Feel free to interject whenever.
Please.
All right. So here's a 1-star review.
Now, we do a lot of fake stuff on the show.
This is true.
Like the fake, all the news. These are actual reviews.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right.
So this is a review of 11 Madison Park, one of the finest restaurants in the country.
Oh.
Possibly one of the finest restaurants in the world.
Okay.
It's a Michelin star rated restaurant.
Wow.
So I'm reading this review and I immediately start to hate this person.
Okay.
So 1-star review of one of the best restaurants in the world.
Okay.
My husband and I regularly travel to New York from San Francisco, our hometown. With each visit, we excitedly anticipate an excellent and unique culinary experience that only select destinations like New York can offer. We've dined at almost every New York upscale restaurant, including Per Se, Masa, La Bernardine, Chef's Table at Brooklyn Fair, Jung Sik, The Modern, and too many others to list. As San Franciscans, we're spoiled by numerous Bay Area, Napa Valley, Sonoma Valley establishments and chefs celebrated by the Michelin Guide and James Beard Foundation after consuming countless calories in New York, San Francisco, Las Vegas, Chicago, Paris, Dubai, Hong Kong, and Tokyo, as well as in remote eateries of Argentina, Italy, Lebanon, Peru, South Africa, South Australia, Spain, Sweden, Thailand, and Vietnam. We hopefully earned enough stripes to consider ourselves legitimate foodies.
Oh, fine. I'll vote for Bernie Sanders.
Elizabeth Warren, come and take it.
Jesus.
Right?
Ugh.
And she goes on. I hated her, I mean, by the second paragraph for sure. But it's just you're reading this, you're like, you insufferable son of a bitch. I just want to strangle this person.
God, someone married her.
Yeah, somebody married and flies her around probably in a private plane. But like, what a pretentious person.
Ugh.
Rather than providing fine toast points or blinis or even a simple spoon for roe purists, the introductory course was mismatched with dense corn flatbread, aggressively okra infused, that overpowered any semblance of caviar flavor.
Oh,
like hateable, right? Hateable, hateable.
Oh my God.
The escargot was pungent and inedible. Never have I thought that caviar and escargot could be unpalatable, if not repelling. There truly is a first for everything. The remaining courses were either too salty or unbearably tart. Dessert was underwhelming, and I recall only the last item, a chocolate-covered pretzel that imposed a lingering sour aftertaste.
Wow. Yeah,
that's somebody you would love to see lose everything and just be forced to like suck it up.
Absolutely. I want to see that person eat garbage.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was
Mitt Romney would be like, she's pretentious.
Yeah, no, right.
Oh my God. I mean,
just awful.
What are their chicken wings? How much are they?
No chicken wings, Jack.
What?
No chicken wings.
Okay, fine.
Never.
Okay.
Not once has a chicken wing.
How much? Okay, fine. Fine, fine, fine. Okay, how much is their popcorn shrimp?
There's no popcorn shrimp, Jack.
Okay, how much are their fried pickles?
There are no fried pickles.
What a shithole. Why would you go to this place?
So now you agree with KT from San Francisco.
I do. It's like your John Mayer story from a couple episodes back. I've turned around and I'm on her side now.
You could easily spend, you know, $400 per person, for dinner. You know, if you paired it with wine or something, clearly for this woman, price doesn't mean anything.
Well, I mean, she's had, you know, muscles in Dubai. Well, her
muscles in Lebanon, Peru, South Africa, South Australia, Spain, Sweden, Thailand, and Vietnam. Pretentious. So anyway, so she's pretentious, but then you find like these insufferable, miserable people.
Okay.
You find these miserable, miserable people.
Yep. So when you're curious about a review that seems to catch your eye, you'll research the person to see if it's legit.
Yes. So this is where this came from. I was looking at, I wanted to get my suitcase repaired here in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a place called Modern Leather Goods. It's been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to look up their address because I remember the name. I couldn't remember where they were. So I went to Yelp, found the address, and I see they had a 1-star review, which didn't make sense because everybody gives them 5-star reviews. They're a great business.
Yep.
And I see this guy's 1-star review and I start reading it and I'm like, oh, this is one of those people who's unhappy. So this is for Modern Leather Goods.
Okay.
This place is a rip-off tourist trap. First of all, I'm not a tourist. I go there all the time.
Sure.
I tried to bring my Samsonite luggage here for warranty replacement slash repair. The older obnoxious asshole behind the counter insisted that it should be repaired there for money rather than just send it back to the manufacturer for an exchange or fix it under the lifetime warranty for free, which the Samsonite warranty offers. Guy's never heard of a comma. I was ready to just pay the $45 he was asking for. This piece of luggage has a $90 value, by the way. Then he tells me he does not take credit cards. And if I wanted to pick it up the next day, there would be another $45 housing fee. WTF. This asshole expected me to pay him a hotel fee for my luggage? Lol. I could not wait here for 2 hours or more. He then disappeared into the back with my luggage and never returned. So I just left it there and went to Macy's across the street and bought a brand new one for $99. That gets better. Well, buddy, you have been dealing and ripping off the tourists down there for way too long. First of all, they don't rip off tourists. They've been around forever. It's like been around since the 40s. It's not a tourist business. They fix bags for everybody in the city. If you look on the wall of this place, they have like, you know, Mayor Dinkins, the crappiest mayor of all before de Blasio. They have all these famous stars who've been there over the years. And he's claiming it's just like screwing tourists.
Wow.
We will see each other and Samsonite down at 111 Center Street soon enough, which is, I guess, a court. Furthermore, the Internal Revenue will be informed of your tax-free for cash business scam you're running. I overheard your associate with another customer offering tax-free for cash deals, as well as not taking a credit card from me. Do yourself a favor, folks. Don't deal with this business and their bullshit.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, of course, I went through his reviews, and he has this pattern of going to a place, giving it a 3-star review, very good pub food. And then like a month later, I used to love this place. And then like 1-star. And he's done that multiple times. Service was excellent. I will not be eating here again. 1-star.
That's amazing.
Okay. So here's another one that really bothered me for the same place, the Modern Leather Goods.
Yep.
2-star review. About 2 hours ago, I was getting something out of my backpack when the zipper broke off. I briefly contemplated buying a new backpack. However, I didn't want to harm the environment by throwing away a backpack that's still usable. I took out my iPhone and looked at a few YouTube videos which explained how to fix broken zippers. The technique seemed complicated, so I just said, screw it, and decided to come here to get the zipper repaired. I asked the guy at the front, a 60-year-old white guy, how much it would cost to fix the zipper. He said it would cost $30. Yes, $30 to fix a zipper. I was flabbergasted. That's actually more than what I paid for the backpack, $25.
No.
Yeah, so this is the best part. I reluctantly decided to pay the money. The repair took 10 minutes. As he was handing me back the bag, I was tempted to grab it and run away without paying.
Oh my God.
Since there were a lot of cops in the area, I decided against that. Kidding. I gave the man the money and left. I am so tempted to give this business a 1. However, they successfully completed the task, so I have to give them a fair grade. Nevertheless, this is fucking bullshit. Like, you agreed to the price.
Oh my God.
You agreed to the price.
God.
They said it's going to cost $30. You didn't want to pay $30, but you did. They fixed your bag and you give them a 2-star review because you didn't want to pay $30. They don't pay $30, William.
Wow.
You moron.
There's a lot to unpack there. Why bringing the guy's race into this?
Right, exactly. Like 60-year-old white guy. It's like, what's the deal with that, dude? Oh, okay, William, I get it.
That's strange.
Yeah.
He wants to, he's got a $25 backpack that he's trying to save.
Yeah.
Basically for environmental reasons.
Right.
That there's too much landfill.
Right.
So he's an environmentalist trying to fix his, there's so much going on there.
He's an environmentalist, but anyway, he wants to save the environment, but he doesn't want to spend $30 doing it. I have my limits,
Wow.
He's a prolific.
Prolific complainer.
No, he's prolific, a reviewer. Like he just reviews everything you can. He reviews the R train. He reviews the subway.
No, he does not.
Sorry, R train, 2 stars.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
You can review the R train?
You can review the R train. In terms of performance, this is the worst subway line in the system. It's slow and infrequent. And that's just like, okay. Yeah. So 2 stars for the Apple store for wanting money to repair his iPhone.
Wow.
Yeah.
I give my hands 1 star for dropping the iPhone.
He reviews Toronto, like the city.
That's no.
Yeah. 4 stars, Toronto. Good for you.
Wow.
Sad. Miserable people.
Well, thank you for sharing the misery, Brian.
I just want everyone to know that somebody out there is much less happy than you are.
So, Brian, exciting news.
What is that?
It's time for our interview
today.
And we've got a fantastic guest. his company, Tesla, has been in the news lately.
Oh, we have Elon.
No, we didn't get Elon.
Oh.
He's blazing up with Joe Rogan right now. So, but we do have Ryan Steele, the director of Futurenautics at Tesla.
Ryan Steele, the director of Futurenautics.
Yeah.
At Tesla.
Yeah. You know how like Disney
has. What is Futurenautics?
I don't know. It's sort of like, you know, like Disney and Dr. Seuss just do a bunch of made up words like Imagineering and stuff. I think that's just what Tesla does with like technology. They've started just making up silly words. So he's the director of Futurenautics.
Futurenautics.
Like all their, you know, the cutting edge things that are going to be released soon.
Okay.
Director of Futurenautics, Ryan Steele. So anyway, so, you know, Tesla had a bad week. I don't know if you saw this in the news. Elon Musk has got this $40,000 new
weird hybrid of a DeLorean and a Pontiac Aztec.
Right. So this big new space truck or whatever is coming out in like 2021. And he's got these bullet. And for some reason, one of the features on this truck is bulletproof glass.
Yeah. That's what I want in my car.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, everyone's taking a shot at you.
Right.
You are not well liked.
Right. And Putin hates me.
Yes, he really does. So Elon Musk brings all the press to like, you know, show off his big new toy that's going to be coming out soon and show off his shatterproof glass. He's like, well, look how shatterproof this is, and throws a rock and it goes right through the glass. So then he's like, all right, that was just a weird thing. Goes to the back. It's like, check this out. Throws a rock and shatters the back glass too. So tough day for Tesla.
That's gotta hurt.
That's gonna be some fun. We're gonna give it to this guy. You ready?
Some good questions.
Okay, cool. So here we go. Our first guest is what's that sound?
Oh, that's a train.
A train. Oh, it's the subway. Should we pause while
it's
we?
Not
the
train? Subway. It's not a subway. It's a steam engine.
There's a steam engine outside. Okay. What is this about?
I guess it came a little early. I was expecting to have a little more time.
Oh, what? Why do you have a steam train appointment?
Because I'm going west, Jack.
Why are you going west?
That's where the gold is, Jack.
No. That's been disproven.
It's not. Jack, San Francisco is filled with gold.
It's not. It's filled with liberals.
That's what somebody who wouldn't want me to go somewhere would say.
You are
a human false flag operation, Jack.
I am not. I have no horse in this game. I just want you to stay and do this freaking interview.
You don't want me to go where the gold is what you're saying. There's hills filled with gold, and I'm going to get there, and I'm going to dig into them, and I'm going to be rich.
All right. Go ahead, Brian.
All right.
Be good.
Sorry, Jack.
I don't think you're sorry.
I'm going to be rich on gold.
You're not going to be rich on gold, Brian. That's not a thing.
Ask a lot of questions.
Okay, Jack. Good advice. Thank you, Brian.
You want to come on the choo-choo?
No, I'm going to interview the guy who's waiting in your living room.
Plush seats.
Now you're just wasting time. Can you just leave?
All right, Jack. See ya.
Okay, bye-bye.
Watch Sophie's Choice.
Why would I do that? Because it trains? What? Sorry about that, folks. Okay, let's get right to our first guest. Ryan Steele, the director of Futurenautics at Tesla. Welcome, Ryan.
Hello, Jack.
Good.
Thank you for inviting me to your show.
I'm so glad you came.
I'm glad you have me.
Especially on a tough week like this. It must be difficult for you this week.
What do you mean by tough?
Well, you're wearing some egg on your face as a company after the whole shatterproof glass incident.
Yeah, see, but this is the problem is everybody is seeing that wrong.
How so?
Because the optics on that look like the glass shattered.
No, yes, that's because that's what happened.
That is what happened. But what you don't understand, it was a triumph for our bioengineering wing. Elon was given a bionic arm.
Uh-huh.
A couple weeks ago.
Okay.
In a secret surgery.
Okay.
His bionic arm propelled that rock at such an incredible velocity, Jack, that it shattered shatterproof windows. We are capable of a technology that allows a human to shatter shatterproof windows.
Wow.
So what you saw was, yes, the windows were shattered, but what you didn't realize is they were shattered by Elon's amazing bionic arm, which is a Tesla product. Now we have to up our game because now we know that arms like that incredible bionic arm by Tesla is capable of launching a projectile at such an amazing speed that it can shatter the currently shatterproof glass. So now, yes, it's like an arms race of sorts, pun intended, Jack, to make us work harder to create a shatterproof glass that can't be shattered.
What's the demand for arms that are bionic like that?
Haven't you ever wanted to be stronger?
Well, sure.
I mean,
I'm a writer. I'm not. I don't know exactly.
And you know, so as a writer, you know the pen is not mightier than the sword.
No, I've lost a lot of.
Homeless guy came up to you and started pushing you, you are not going to write him away.
No, I'm not. Especially if he has a sword, I'm just going to give him
whatever he's asking.
Really, anything he wants.
Right. So there's a whole market for bionic arms. Mm-hmm. You have, there are a lot of people love martial arts, punching, hammering. If you're a carpenter, can you imagine how much better you could carpent?
Yeah, I guess so.
Painters, imagine Bob Ross with a bionic arm that could work 4 or 5 times faster and build landscapes 4 to 5 times faster.
It seems like that show would be a little bit less relaxing.
Oh yeah, it'd be frantic and messy.
Yeah, like 6 minutes of just mayhem.
Yeah, there's a future in bionic arms, Jack, and you're either going to be part of it or you're going to be one of the normal armed.
Is that going to be now a thing? Like a normal, like, or are we going to have anti-bullying campaigns against the normal armed?
Probably. Bionic arms are just one of many, many Tesla innovations, Jack. We have a litany, a plethora, a whole conundrum of inventions.
Clearly you're just dying for me to ask, what are some other technologies or inventions that you're excited about that is the future of Tesla?
Well, Jack, you get your paycheck.
Yep.
And you want to put it in the bank.
I sure do.
Okay. Imagine this, Jack.
Yes.
You get your paycheck. You press the button on your keychain or on your app, your Tesla app.
Sure.
Your car comes to you.
Okay.
It opens up the driver's side door.
Mm-hmm.
You place your sign check, your endorsed check, and your deposit slip on the driver's seat. The door closes. The car drives itself to your local bank branch.
Okay.
The car pulls into the parking lot and lays on the horn.
Okay.
Nonstop. Lays on the horn until a human approaches.
Okay.
So hopefully a human from the bank comes up to the driver's side door. When they do, the honking stops, the car door opens, and that person sees, hopefully, the check and deposit slip on the driver's seat. Deposit achieved, Jack. You personally did not have to go to the bank.
Okay. And how much time and money would you say you've spent on that?
Well, it's saving you a trip to the bank, isn't it?
It is, which I want to get to in a second, but I just want to understand what sort of resources you've put into that as a company.
To developing that.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, there's no, how do you calculate all the different people devoting all their time and energy and taking holidays, spending their holidays with us and at work and the sleepless nights and the conferences and, hundreds of people, Jack. I there's no way to really calculate, but it doesn't matter. What matters is there is the technology. There we are.
Well, here's my question for you. Why don't you just use direct deposit? It seems like that's just a big, messy, time-wasting, loud, sloppy way to just direct deposit. Well, just push a button or sign up with your company and they'll just do it for you.
What do you mean?
I mean, direct deposit.
What is direct deposit, Jack?
It's that thing that everyone has where your company deposits the money into the bank for you so you don't have to do any of that nonsense. No one goes to the bank anymore.
Is that true?
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll look into that.
Yeah, I mean, well, you should also just have your check direct deposited.
Jack.
Yes.
You're at home.
Okay.
You're hungry.
Yes.
You want to eat.
Yes.
Okay. So what do you do? Listen, here's what you do.
Okay.
You press the keychain or the button on your app. Your car comes to you. All right.
Yep.
You tell the car, you program it on your app, the restaurant that you want to order from. It knows because we have GPS.
Okay.
Where the restaurant is. Mm-hmm. The car drives to the restaurant, Jack.
Okay.
Pulls into their parking lot. Lays on the horn. Until someone from the restaurant comes out, Jack. When they approach the car, the passenger door opens.
Okay.
They get in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hopefully it's the waiter. The car returns to your house. The waiter gets out, approaches you, and takes your order. The waiter gets back in the car, and the car brings him back to the restaurant. You have not had to leave your house.
Yep.
You have now ordered at that restaurant.
Well, then how does the food get to you? You've only placed the order.
You press a button on your keychain or on your app, Jack. The car approaches you. You tell the car what restaurant you ordered your food from.
Because your car forgot in that stretch of time?
We haven't developed the artificial memory yet.
Okay.
The car then drives to the restaurant.
Uh-huh.
It pulls into the parking lot, Jack, and lays on the horn.
Yep.
Until they come out with your food.
Mm-hmm.
When they come out with your food, it opens the passenger side door or the trunk, your choice, okay. On the app. You place the food in the car.
Okay. Oh, couldn't you just have it delivered? Have your food delivered?
Well, you just did. That's what I'm saying.
Well, no, I mean, just you could just call a lot of restaurants and just say, I'd like an order for delivery. And they have a bunch of drivers who will just take the food, you know, right away to your house quick and
that's
without all the back and forth. Yeah, that's a thing.
We'll look into that.
Also, can I just talk to you real quick about your use of the word hopeful? Because you seem to just hope that the right people hop into your car or to take your signed paycheck. It seems like it could be a lot of people, unwanted people getting in your car. Is that something you encounter a lot?
It happens. There was a guy who when we tested out the pilot program,
mm-hmm.
and he had ordered from a restaurant and mm-hmm. he didn't get a waiter.
What did he get?
He got a mildly confused older woman who wasn't quite sure what was going on. She sat in the passenger seat.
Okay.
Obviously not ideal, not a waitress, a waiter. Mm-hmm. Arrived at his house, didn't know where she was very scared and just kept saying, I need my medication.
That seems like that could be considered kidnapping.
That's what the court said.
What happened to, what happened to the lady, the confused lady?
Wow. Okay. Let's say you don't feel well.
Yep.
You want to go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You press a button on your keychain or you press a button on the app.
Mm-hmm.
Your car comes. It opens up the passenger door. You write a note. It says, Doc, I don't feel so good. You put it on the passenger seat.
Uh-huh.
It drives to your doctor's office, your general practitioner. It goes into their parking lot. It lays on the horn.
Yep.
Hopefully the doctor comes out.
Yeah.
To the car, sees the note, because the door opens up when he approaches the car. Sees the note, says, Doc, I don't feel so good, Jack. So what does he do?
I don't know. What does he do?
What would you do? You get in the car.
I would not get in the car. I have a strange car. Just started beeping at me. I would not get in it.
I mean, in all our models, the doctor gets into the car and comes to your house. No? Never mind. Moving on. Back in the olden days, when your wife was going on a business trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Classic tale.
You would drive your wife to the airport.
Yep.
Get her to the airport, drop her off at her flight. Love you, honey. Bye-bye.
Yep.
Get back in the car, drive back home. Traffic.
Uh-huh.
Not anymore.
Cool. What happens now?
You press a button on your keychain. Or on the app.
Yep.
Your car comes.
Mm-hmm.
Your wife gets in the passenger seat. Mm-hmm. The trunk opens up. You put the luggage in the trunk.
Uh-huh.
You kiss your wife goodbye right there and then.
Oh.
Love you, honey. See you later. Love you. The car takes her to the airport. Trunk opens. She gets out. She removes her bags. The car leaves the airport.
Okay.
It goes to the red light district. When the car sees what you like, it pulls up and lays on the horn. The passenger door opens up. And hopefully she gets in.
Hopefully it's not a dude.
We haven't developed that technology yet. And then it drives back to your house.
Okay. And what do you have? That's fascinating.
I'm kind of waiting for you to tell me that there's a hybrid airport / escort service.
No kidding. You got this.
Let me write that down.
Yeah. This is something that doesn't exist yet. At first I was thinking, oh, this is kind of like just calling a cab. Just call your wife a cab.
Right.
But this is new. This is, I'm excited. This is new. So what happens next? You've just completed the act, completed the transaction.
You've been unfaithful.
Okay.
After the friend / we use sex worker, I guess is a better term.
Right. I mean, I doubt you became friends in that time.
So there's been an exchange of money.
Uh-huh.
She gets into the car.
Okay.
The car starts heading back towards where it picked her up.
Uh-huh.
About halfway there, it does a very sudden swerve, which smashes her head into the shatterproof glass and knocks her unconscious.
Okay.
The car then removes the money, opens a passenger door, and dumps her on the sidewalk. Then comes back to you with the money.
Well, car kind of pays for itself.
It really does.
Just to get this straight, Tesla's new car technology will assault and rob prostitutes and recover your funds that you spent in copulating with said prostitute.
Yeah, because that's how else do you pay for a $40,000 space pickup truck?
You can't. There's no way. Technology's not there yet.
Right?
Yep.
So, Jack, that is the spirit of Tesla and the spirit of innovation.
Well, gosh, that's great. Well, Ryan, I want to thank you for coming on the show.
I want to thank you for having me.
Good luck with the pickup truck and all these exciting new innovations that we can look forward to, most of which we don't need.
Well, thank you, Jack. And I just want everyone out there to please buy a Tesla.
Sorry about that. What is that sound?
That's my car. I just summoned it.
And that is all the time we have for today's questionable material. Please spread the word. Give us a 5-star review. Subscribe to the newsletter. Check out our website, qmpodcast.com. And we'll see you next time. Happy Thanksgiving. Goodbye.
That was questionable material. Subscribe to this podcast. Visit us at qmpodcast.com. Email us at contact@qmpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter @questionablemat with one T.